There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday. And yeah, like I said last hour, a couple things. Number one, we pointed out this is my last of two-a-days. Not that in the future I won't be, compelled for various reasons to be doing two shows a day for vacation or whatever, pinch hitting. But yeah, as of this morning, made the announcement starting Monday that it is Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig doing Mobile Mornings. I'll still be here all the time. I don't go anywhere. And I'll still be doing this show, Midday Mobile. Still doing the Outdoors Show with Mike Ward tomorrow morning, which, by the way, Scott Bannon, director of Alabama Marine Resources, is getting contentious once again on the snapper question and what some of the federal government are saying that they want to do to our allocation next year. We'll talk about that with the director tomorrow starting at 7. And all the other programs and things I'm part of, I'm still here. Still here in my office, probably the same hours that I was on the radio before. So I'm here, not going anywhere. And I wouldn't, because I couldn't stand to be away from my buddy Bill Finch. And his fans have already lined up on the email here and on the social media, ready to hear him. And I'm ready to hear him, too. My buddy and host of Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast, Bill Finch, joins us now on Midday Mobile. Bill, how are you, man?
Good, Sean. Good. Can I just say, remind everyone that back in the days when we actually believed in seasons, that August 20th is the start of hurricane summer.
Yep.
And isn't that appropriate? Isn't it just right? It's always right on schedule.
You've timed it out over time and taught us that we, unlike other places, we have different. We have American summer, right?
You got it.
We don't have just one kind of summer here. Just the way the Inuit people have, it's like 150 words for snow. Different kinds of snow.
Right.
We have multiple summers. And yeah, we have hit hurricane. Even though it started, remember we had some named storms early in the season, but this is the big Atlantic season. This is the big Megillah time of year, and we're looking
looking at
some big ones. And we're looking at, as an anomaly, I mean, it stopped Dr. Bill, I think it was yesterday or the day before, when this first started coming up in the forecast. And, he's not one to hype, and Dr. Bill said, well, it does look like we could possibly have two tropical systems in the Gulf at the same time. Last time that happened was 1933. So this is my first two storm Gulf situation. Probably yours as well. And here we are facing two of them. And we're at least right now. They've got I think Tropical Storm Laura now aimed right at Mobile Bay. That'll change, but this is a wake up. When you have two in the Gulf, we're going to see some wind from something.
Yeah, it's definitely out there. And, you know, to be fair, there are certain storms you just have to duck and you say, I can't do anything about it. In all likelihood, and Michael was one of those. I mean, Michael is, you just don't want to live where Michael hits at its worst. But this has got probably going to be one of those storms where you can really prepare yourself for this kind of storm and minimize the kind of damage that you would see from these kinds of storms.
Now, that's what everybody wants to do, is minimize the damage, avoid or minimize the damage. So how do we do this?
Yeah, so there are, to be fair, a lot of things you need to be thinking about, like your house and how it's built. and your insurer will kind of be working with you about that. But your insurer is not, let me just say, your insurer isn't very smart and probably isn't going to be extraordinarily cooperative. That's just the way insurers have become when it's around hurricanes. So don't depend on them to tell you what to do. Because one of the most important things you can do is to look at your yard, because with these kinds of storms, what matters a lot is what's in your yard and what it does to your house and how it protects your house. And that's the trees and some other things. But mostly we're talking about the trees. And that's where we really need to start thinking carefully.
Okay. But all trees aren't the same, right? I mean, this is, and I mentioned you going into this, and our buddy Chris Francis, he just popped up on the text line too, that just saying, well, I got some trees close to my house. They're not all the same. You've taught me that. Chris has taught me that. They're not all the same.
Yeah, they're not all the same. And so you want to look at what trees are most likely to be vulnerable and which trees are going to do damage. And a huge percentage, and let me just say, because I think people underestimate this, if you look at the damage from hurricanes in Alabama, and the insurers are beginning to grasp this, so they don't really know what to do about it, but the damage overwhelmingly is from trees falling on houses. It's not from houses exploding. Or something like that. It's not from roofs being blown off. That happens. In some situations, it happens. But most of the damage is from trees falling on houses. Now, here's the other interesting thing we know. Without trees, hurricane winds are much worse because trees dampen, in a lot of ways, the effect of hurricane damage. So how do you find the trees that are going to protect you without falling and crushing your house? And there are ways to do that. There are pretty systematic ways of doing that. And the simplest way is to, and this should be when you renegotiate your insurance every year, the first thing you should think about is, I'm going to put aside a little bit of money, because I know my insurer isn't smart enough to think about this. I'm going to put aside a little bit of money to hire someone to come look at the trees in my yard.
Mm-hmm.
And you get somebody like Chris. We all know and love Chris Francis and our other people who are certified to come look at those trees and say, yeah, I think this tree's going to be okay.
Now,
some of you won't do that, so you're going to take a huge risk by not doing that, by not understanding what those trees are. But there are a few things you can do just looking at the kinds of trees you have and figuring out what's going to happen. We always start this discussion, Sean, do we not, with that great big booger bear of a tree that we call the water oak.
Yep.
Yep. So water oaks and laurel oaks are a particular kind of oak. You got 40 species of oaks in Alabama. I hate to tell you. You know, you got to be smart to live in a place like Alabama. I know we think you don't have to be, but yet you got to be, because you've got a lot of diversity in Alabama. And you need to be able to tell those oaks apart. But water oaks and laurel oaks are pretty easy to tell from other oaks, and they're the ones that do the overwhelming amount of damage in a place like Mobile.
So why do we have so many of them, Bill?
Well, what's that, John?
Why do we have so many of them? If they're the worst choice there, why are there so many close to so many houses?
Well, one thing is well, let's just talk about reproduction. Most people don't have, we'll talk about sex.
All right.
Most people don't plant trees, right? Most of the trees we have in our neighborhoods are not planted. They're actually just vigorously reproducing trees. And water oaks and laurel oaks are vigorously reproducing trees. They produce a ton of acorns. Not only that, they grow incredibly fast. You get this little acorn over here in your flower bed, and you say, I'm not going to weed. I don't feel like weeding this. Y'all get it next year. It's 6 feet tall the next year, and it literally can be 6 feet tall in 1 year. That's the way they grow. And so at 6 feet tall, you say, nah, it's too big for me to weed. It's just there, and that's what happens. So water oaks and laurel oaks are seedy oaks. They seed in rapidly, and they develop rapidly. And then we have this other crazy thing, which, you know, Sean, I'll go off on if I'm not careful, and that is this crazy idea we had that pines were bad and all oaks are good. And that's the dumbest idea that anybody ever had, particularly when it comes to water oaks and laurel oaks.
So those two are offenders. Other species of oaks, and like you said, we're stacked with oak species in Alabama, they're better or they're much better, or is it a sliding scale?
Yeah, it's a sliding scale. So you got a lot of different kinds of oaks. The other oak that we're kind of familiar with is live oak, and most people can sort of distinguish a live oak from a water and laurel oak. If you don't, we'll come back to that and tell you, show you exactly how. But live oaks are those big spreading oaks that that are much more wind firm for a lot of reasons. One, water oaks and laurel oaks have no immune system. Just imagine, you know, just walking around without an immune system. You get every disease possible. We like to say about water oaks, 25 years growing, 25 years dying, and then they're gone. They grow very fast. They die very young. Live oaks, on the other hand, can live a very long time, and they have a pretty good immune system. And so live oaks are much better and much more dependable, but...
Always a but.
But
there's
what? A big but there. And there's a lot to talk about.
Don't hold that over my head. You know my yard. This is when Finch starts with me. So you know we got my house, my parents' house, we got... live oaks, you know, we got a lot of live oaks. But what? They're good. They're obviously better than laurel. They're better than water oak. Are there oaks that are better than our live oaks?
Palms are the best of all trees, by the way.
Oaks.
Put a tree next to your house. Put a palm. Particularly our native palms, our sable palmettos, they're incredible. They're the only thing that survived Katrina, the only thing that survived Michael. They're really incredible. That's the tops. Cypress after that. Live oaks are probably pretty close to the top after that, and they are quite remarkable. But the problem is if the limbs get too big for their britches. So we got a whole discussion about limbs getting too big for their britches and how to understand that about live oaks, because we've had live oaks falling all around downtown, all around Midtown, all around Fairhope.
All right, let's do this. We're going to run to the news break. Come right back with the man who's giving me grief here. Of course, you can catch him every Sunday for the first airing from 9 to 11 of Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast, and then the re-airing later Sunday evening, and the airing on Tuesday night, and the podcast of that show, or you can just listen to him talk trash about my oaks when we come back in just 3 minutes here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 123 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We can call this Midday Mobile Hour 2 a preview for Plain Gardening with the Gulf Coast on Sunday with Bill Finch, where maybe there'll be some more. You imagine you'd be talking about hurricanes and trees on Sunday, Bill?
I imagine so.
Whole show.
That's right. So I wish, this is the terrible thing, and we always complain about it, but, you know, we shouldn't have to talk about it right when the hurricane is just barreling down on us. Because it doesn't leave us the kind of time we need to do real smart planning. But, gosh, we got your attention.
Yep.
And the hurricane's got your attention, and it's barreling down on us. So maybe we ought to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm seeing a bunch of texts here, too, about water oaks. Our buddy Jay says, I never thought about calling and renegotiating my homeowner's insurance because I just cut down 7 water oaks from my yard of my new house. That's probably a good move, Bill.
Yeah, it is. You know, wouldn't it be great if the insurers understood this and gave you a break on this? They won't, but at least not right now, and certainly not Alabama insurance underwriters. They're just, you know, they're just straight ahead. But the terrible thing is that, yes, you're going to have to spend a little bit of money to fix this because the insurers are not going to give you a discount on it. But it can make a ton of difference. And I would not trust the insurers to cover you for a lot of the damage that occurs as a result of trees.
So with that being said, either you can spend the money now or spend more money later.
That's right. And so it's a really good idea. Don't depend on the insurers to do this for you, because they ain't.
Let's do a little field. If somebody doesn't have their field guide, Trees of Alabama field guide with them, we're lucky. We've got the band that, you know, knows more than the field guide on with us right now with Bill Finch. People say water oak, laurel oak. What's the difference? Let's talk about defining. People walk. They get home this afternoon. All right, they're listening. They get home this afternoon. They're going to walk the yard and see what kind of oaks they have. Give us some quick takeaways on what do we look for to identify these trees.
Yeah, so what we're talking about is this group of sort of evergreen oaks. Most of them are evergreen. They hold on to their leaves for a long time, generally into December and January. Live oaks hold on to them until March, and then there's a little transition to the next year. So we call them evergreen oaks or semi-evergreen oaks. And there are three of them that we have to think about. Can we talk about them real quickly? There's the live oak. There's the laurel oak and the water oak. The laurel and water oaks are pretty similar in a lot of ways. But let me tell you about water oaks, because they're the one that's most common. Water oak has a leaf that's shaped like a kite. The leaf will be shaped like a kite.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was a great thing in the old days because people remembered what kites look like. Do I need to explain what a kite looks like?
I think because we're not a top 40 station, we have a little older audience. I think we're all probably good with the kites, but my children have no idea. We'll have to show them. But yes,
we'll insult the audience by assuming that they know what a kite is.
Correct. So it looks like a kite. Okay.
Yeah, and it's widest towards the top. It is a diamond, but a diamond that's very wide towards the top. Laurel oaks are a little different in that the leaves are more or less oval, or they may be purely diamond shaped like a diamond, but they're a little harder to distinguish from live oaks. But let me come back and tell you what a live oak looks like. Let's just contrast the water oak and the live oak. Kite shaped versus a leaf that is just almost a perfect oval for the live oak. And if you turn the live oak on the bottom, this is really important. You turn the live oak on the bottom of the leaf, it's velvety. It's microscopically velvety, but you'll see it in the sunlight. It looks like it has a little skin of just little tiny hair all over it, and it's kind of whitish looking on the bottom. With laurel oaks and water oaks, there's none of that on the bottom of the leaf. So it's that whitish quality on the bottom of the live oak that just never fails you. It's just a little bit of a fuzzy hair. The other thing, and I'm going to go beyond leaves here, because a lot of people don't see small things. They tend to see things in big terms. So let me use big terms. If it's a water oak, the trunk is more or less going to be straight up and down, and the branches are going to come off of it straight up and down, and pretty high up until it gets about 20 or 30 feet up, and then it'll have lots of vase-shaped limbs coming out of that. But it has mostly a straight trunk without a lot of big, fat side limbs. If it's a live oak, and it's growing in full sun in your yard, it tends to have limbs that split off from the main trunk, and they get very large, and it's very hard to determine where the trunk is, because the limbs are almost as big as the trunk. And that's not a good thing necessarily, it's just the way it happens in our yard. So live oaks tend to have, they don't have a good central trunk. And that's one of the characteristics of live oaks. They're almost always as wide as they are tall.
Okay, so people could, that's good, because that you can pretty quickly walk through the yard and see the difference between those. I mean, that's going to stand out. Then again, we got a question. You said something going to the break, and we're up against the break here, but yeah, I think actually we were talking about during the news break. You've got live oaks, and then you have sand live oaks.
Oh, yeah. So sand live oaks are really cool, and there you see them a lot in West Mobile, and they are probably the most wind firm of all of the live oak group, and they are just beautiful. But their leaves are cupped on the edges. It's revolute. The edges of the leaves are turned under. And Sean, what did you say? How'd you say you played with them as a kid?
We used them as boats. Yeah, we used them as boats to play when we were kids and sailed them down. Tell you what, can you hold on during the news break?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're coming right back. Our guest, Bill Finch, talking trees, talking life on the Gulf Coast. It's a great Friday. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. The last of the two-a-days as of Monday, of course, brand new. You got, 50% brand new. My buddy Dan Brennan, part of the family now, joined the team here. He and my longtime friend, Dalton Orwig, hosting Mobile Mornings. I'll still be here for Midday Mobile. I'll still be here at the office, too, doing all those other things. And for the outdoor show, all the different programs. Maybe once in a while, with this extra time in my schedule, I can join my buddy Bill Finch on plain gardening for the Gulf Coast. I know you and I want to talk some.
Wouldn't that be great?
You and I, there's a bunch of stuff we want to talk about in the woods on a show upcoming.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm going to have a little extra time. We can do that. So that'll
work. Be nice.
All right. We have got many questions here coming in when it comes to trees here, and we're talking trees, of course, because the chance of having them fall on our house, but there's some people that are just taking general interest in the trees as well, which is good. Question, are those live oaks that are lining Spring Hill and Government Street?
Yes, for the most part they are, and not nearly as old as most people think they are. They were planted in the early part of the 20th century, about 1920, and they grow fast. There he is, however, hiding within that, within those groves of oaks lining those streets. You'll occasionally see a white oak, and you'll see a lot of water oaks that kind of sneak in there, and they hide there, and they get protected. So you'll see a few water oaks, but most of them are live oaks.
All right. So that's it. So if y'all know what those look like, you can, kind of repeat that there at the house. Okay. So a couple questions here about pecan trees, too. What's their hardiness in a storm? And then Alan's asking about termites infesting pecan trees.
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah. So the worst tree to have near your house, it may be as bad as a water oak would be a pecan. It's pretty close. Pecan growth is terrible. It produces these limbs that are way too big for their britches. They just keep stretching farther and farther and farther and farther and farther away from the trunk. That means that those limbs are going to shatter in all types of winds. I worry as much about pecans as I do about water oaks.
Wow.
We don't have as many pecans as water oaks, and so they don't do quite as much damage because they're not quite as common. But if you've got a pecan next to your house, it's the most dangerous tree next to your house. How's that?
There you go. Okay. So now we could score pecans number one, water oak number two in our don't have them next to the house list.
Yeah, yeah. It's a problem. And there are a lot of people who built a pecan groves. And it looked really cute and pretty. But if you've ever seen a pecan grove after a hurricane, you would have not built there. It's pretty scary what happens. They don't go over from the roots as badly as water oaks do, and that's a good thing, but they can do a lot of damage. They don't have a lot of rot resistance. I'm not surprised you're seeing termites in them, but termites can get into any tree, but there's probably an indication that there's some rot there, and the termites are kind of following behind the rot just a little bit.
If Philip is asking this question, Philip, this is going to be more probably for somebody who has a... some kind of, social skills course, because he said, what about neighbor's trees? Basically, if the neighbors have a water oak or a pecan and they could fall and reach your house. Bill, would you go over there? Of course, with your chops, you could, but should we go over there and inform them that what kind of tree they have there in the yard? Oh, man.
Yeah, right. Well, so there it is. And I've done that, you know. And I don't think my neighbors would think I'm any smarter than anybody else. They just say, yeah, okay. So you have to work on that. We've, in some cases, because I was worried enough about that water oak and the damage to my house, I said, look, I'll help pay for this. Let's just clean this up, because I really worry about the damage. In most cases, you're probably going to need to have an expert opinion if it's your neighbor's yard, and you say you might have to pay a little bit extra money for that. But you know, it's a problem, and a lot of damage can occur from the trees on your neighbor's property, so it's an issue. But you can talk to them, and in all likelihood, you really do want to know a little bit about what you're talking about before you start talking. You want to make sure it's a water oak. One thing we can do, Sean, let's just say this. You know, every Sunday morning from 9 until 11, you get to text me all kind of pictures. All you got to do is text a picture to the phone number that we use here, 251-343-0106. And you can say, I got a picture of this leaf off my tree. What kind of tree is this? You know what? I can probably tell you what it is.
It is good. I think you're batting 1,000. Speaking of which, by the way, too, our buddy Chris Francis recommended that same thing to me. I wanted, you know, an opinion on a limb coming from a neighbor's tree. He said, you need to just go talk to the neighbor. Like, he said, we just need to get the whole water oak out. Actually, it's a laurel oak. All right. This, Don is asking, Bill, if you've ever heard of the giant oak tree at the old oak apartments in Saraland. He said he was there the other day, and the maintenance guy told him it was the third largest tree in Alabama. He said, trust me, it's huge. I just wondered what type of oak that was. And have you heard of that tree? I know I hadn't. I don't
know it. And, you know, anybody who's got a big tree has got a story about it, and sometimes the stories are true. I don't know whether it's the biggest tree.
He said third biggest.
Third biggest tree. I would be, in fact, I would be very suspicious of that claim from many perspectives, but it could be a very big tree. I'd love to see it sometime. And I'll tell you what, if anybody's got a picture of that tree, text it to me. I'd love to see it.
Well, we're getting secondary information here from a renowned source known to you and I, and he said, and I think if he's talking about the same tree, he said, nope, it's the state champ. Maybe it's the number one tree, he's saying, and he said, this person's worked on it. So you guess that name rhymes with Chris Francis.
Yes.
So he said so that...
What kind of tree is it? What does Chris say it is?
Let's see. He'll let me know in just a second. Chris, you hear Bill's question? What kind of oak is it? What are we looking at? Also, while we're doing that, while we're waiting for Chris to tell us what kind of tree that is, Rick is talking about yellow poplar. He said he's not a big fan of yellow poplars. What's your take on yellow poplar? He said the streets of his neighborhood are lined with those. He said one good hurricane.
Please, I'd love talking about yellow poplar, tulip poplar. I don't know what Chris is going to say about this, but I'm just going to go ahead and blurt it out. Every yellow poplar, tulip poplar that was planted in my neighborhood in Midtown fell over. And they grow fast. They will grow 6 or 7 feet a year, and every one of them fall over from the roots. And they just are like hatchets. There was this great... they're terrible. Terrible for neighborhood.
Hatchets. And, house hatchets.
Yeah. And so, listen, can I tell this story, Sean?
Please.
About the yellow poplar. So over there, and I'll tell you, it was on Palmetto Street in Midtown, and I don't remember which hurricane it was. It may have been Ivan, I don't know. It was actually a minor hurricane. And it came through, and there was a big tulip poplar, yellow poplar, in a yard. That tree fell over from the base, fell across the street, and damaged the porch on the house across the street.
Oh,
that's how big it was.
That's a reach.
Listen, here's the best part. The TV crews came by and said, oh, what a terrible storm. This mighty oak, this hundred, and this ancient oak must be 100 years old. It knocked it down. I knew when the oak was planted, planted, and I'm not quite 100 yet. I saw when the oak was planted. I went over and I counted the rings. It was 25 rings. They grow fast and they fall hard. Terrible tree. The reason why they're so popular is because we get our gardening information from Minnesota. And as long as we're getting our gardening information and our tree information, we know more about how to live in Minnesota than we know how to live in Mobile. As long as we keep doing that, we're going to have trees falling on our houses, just the way it is.
Yep. Rick is hoping they all just fall out in the street, I guess, so they can plant new, you know, different trees in this neighborhood. And by the way, too, we got our update while we're talking from Chris. He says it's a live oak. So it's,
is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, that's interesting. We may have to make a pilgrimage. Go check out that tree.
Yeah.
What about large sweet gum trees near the house? That's from Ted.
What a great question. I don't know the answer to that. We've been looking at a lot of sweet gums. And Chris and I think Chris and I have talked about it. I don't think we have a real firm opinion. I think sweet gums are okay. But if you've got they're sort of middle of the pack. And maybe a little above middle of the pack in terms of their storm resistance. But I do recommend, if you have a sweet gum, you need to have it checked out. I mean, and particularly if it's within crashing distance of the house. Have it checked out, because we don't have enough information, enough data on sweet gums to really make good decisions about how wind firm they are. I think they're pretty good. But pretty good doesn't really, even live oaks are really good, but they fall all the time and for a lot of crazy reasons. So you need to have a sweet gum checked out, but it's not one of the worst.
Okay. Another one on our list here, man. I used to have a bunch of these in my yard in Chickasaw. Eric says, Bill, I have a huge sycamore. How sturdy are those?
Well, here's the thing. I have never found a sweet gum that wasn't topped out. I've never seen a sycamore that wasn't topped out. I have not seen any sycamores that were ever blown over from the roots either. So that's kind of, you know, they're probably not, they're less likely maybe to do massive damage to your house, but they are very brittle, and the limbs break well up into the tree. So it's a caution. It's not one of the best trees by any means. I wouldn't put one right next to the house.
All right. And a lot of people right now getting ready to send pictures. Y'all wait till, because we'll get so many texts here for the rest of the day, Friday and Saturday. Y'all wait till 9 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Sunday.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people fired up. So get your pictures ready and send them to Bill on Sunday morning, when I know there's going to be an extended tree chat, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
What about if we got 1 minute left here before we got to go? What about our pine trees here? I mean, you are the master of it, and I'm an apprentice of being a fan of longleafs. How do they do?
Well, so let me start out by saying the two top ones are slash. Well, there are three good ones, and it's kind of amazing. Spruce pine or cherry bark pine, Pinus glabra, longleaf, and slash pine are the three best. And I'll have to say that slash pine, if you're in a wet area, if you've got wet soils, and the spruce pine or cherry bark pine are probably the best in those situations. Dolphin Island, I mean, is a case in point. There's some big slash pines down there that have survived really bad hurricanes, and right there in the front of the winds, there's a big slash pine forest. It's immense right along the banks, and it's done really well. Longleaf on drier soils is very good. It does tend to get topped out. You do tend to get a lot of branches, but the smaller branches aren't going to tear your house up.
Yep. True. I hate it, but we have got to go. I will be tuned in listening to you on Sunday, and we'll get more of this discussion. Bill, appreciate your time, and I always appreciate your friendship on this, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Good. Thank you, Sean.
All right. And he can't hear it through the line, but yeah, some Tiny Tim takes us out. We'll be back to wrap it up on Midday Mobile.